You know, I will never forget the first time that I saw my son, whose birthday is tomorrow. So perhaps this is why this is on my mind. Long had I waited for him, waited to hold him, and to hear him, and to touch him with tenderness and love. And when I saw him, when I laid my eyes on him, my heart expanded to a size that I simply couldn't have fathomed. As the doctors and the nurses examined him, making sure he was all there, I hovered above them, much to their annoyance. I know this because they actually told me to hover just a little farther away. And as they took him to the nursery, I followed them down the hall. And just before they swaddled him, with his little legs kicking around and his arms moving uncontrollably, I bent down and put my face in the bassinet. My beard had actually grown pretty long by the time he was born, and as I bent down, I gently took his little foot and rubbed it on my beard. His absolute beauty caused me to marvel, and once again my heart seemed to grow within my chest. And as they swaddled him, binding his arms and legs, I realized just how vulnerable he was. The comfort that he knew in the womb, the security of those 9+ months, all of it was gone. He was in a new world, so to speak, and his total vulnerability was on display as he was now subject to sights and sounds and feelings that his little brain couldn't even process. It's a moment that I return to time and again, treasuring it and pondering it in my own heart. Even now, especially now as I reflect on another child born to loving parents. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. These parents, tired after a long journey, tired after finding a place to stay and failing at it, tired after giving birth in this stable, they caught a glimpse of the impact of the birth of this boy. "The Messiah is here," we imagine the shepherds shouting and running into that stable and finding Mary and Joseph enraptured by the face of their beloved. But in that moment, right, that holy moment when the child was taking his first breath and was opening his eyes for the first time and was feeling the tug and the pull of nerves firing off as his arms and legs flailed, and the feeling of that relative security of the swaddling cloths, there was no messianic victory, so to speak. There was just the vulnerability of this child. But this isn't just any child. This is, we confess, God in the flesh. God, the supreme authority, emptied of all power and might, emptied of the grandeur of heaven, the fullness of God now dwelling in this tiny, fragile body, bereft of the ability to make sense of anything other than that instinctive draw to Mary's breast. And this, my friends, is the lesson of Christmas. The fullness of God, enfleshed in Jesus, having control of nothing, having power over nothing, not even his own body, found in risky vulnerability, feeling what we feel, experiencing what we experience, sharing in the depth of human life in the deepest way possible. Jesus, now the human face of God, distant no longer. I'm not able to fathom what God was like before the birth of Jesus in God's essence when the Godhead was in some sense far from human. But having experienced the vulnerability and fragility of a newborn, having held my own son, having swaddled him, having changed him, having done all of these things, I cannot help but be caught up in rapturous ecstasy when I ponder the beauty of this divine vulnerability. And not just the beauty of it, but the risk of it. The risk of coming into that the world the way it was. We read this story backwards and we know the ending. But there in that moment was risk and terror and joy and all of these things rolling into one. And from this lowliness, this riskiness, this vulnerability, the saga of our salvation took a decisive turn. From within, not without, God would redeem us. From among us, not above, God would work wonders. Our story, right, the story of the human race, now inextricably tied to the story of God's own life. This is a God worthy of worship. Not because such a God is all powerful, because such a God shed that power and sought to join with creation in a dance of intimacy and trust. In this act of unparalleled mercy, God deigned to become human, deigned to speak not with the voice that called all of creation into existence with a word, but to speak with the voice of a babbling baby. And it's in this sharing that we are taken up and become something more than we once were. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This feast, this celebration, is not a feast of the triumph of power, but the triumph of weakness. A vulnerability. It's not the celebration of a king enthroned in glory, but in the eyes of the world, an inglorious beginning that actually reorients what lordship and divinity look like. This is the triumph of an imaginative and creative and merciful God who joined us in our struggles, taking them on as God's own. This is the triumph of grace. Born under a canopy of stars those many years ago. And as Joseph placed his beard onto the feet of the Holy Child, and as Mary swaddled him and rocked him into the slumber of security, humanity's redemption was coming to pass. Hallelujah.